Returning to the little book of Jonah, just about the middle of the minor prophets, little book of Jonah, and we're going to read from the first chapter. I'm sure Jonah is pretty well known to us all. In fact, he's known throughout the world, even though some of those who know about Jonah don't even have a Bible. But his story has been carried from nation to nation. We're reading from verse 1 of chapter 1, the very beginning of the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, Nineveh might well have thought that the God of Israel would have no interest in her. Nineveh is in the territory that we would call today northern Iraq. Quite a bit away from Israel. But that doesn't mean that God didn't see her or take note of her sin. He says, her wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And they found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It's not just the Ninevites who perhaps might have thought that God wouldn't notice them. Here's God's servant, and he entertains the notion that you can get away from God. You can flee from the presence of the Lord. Even wise men like God's prophet Jonah make very foolish and stupid mistakes. There's no getting away from God, no matter where you go. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. That's what happens when you backslide. You become careless, and you don't even notice what God's doing, or the danger you're in. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. The storm must have been of such a nature that the sailor said, you know, this is not usual. Perhaps it wasn't the right time of year for a storm. In the Mediterranean area, things happen on a pretty regular basis. So there's times in the year when you can expect storms, and there are other times when you don't. And they didn't expect a storm, so they felt this is an unusual event. This is an unusual occurrence. And perhaps the ferocity of the storm was such that it almost became clear and evident that a divine hand was stirring up this storm. And so the man says, let's cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Yes, he did fear the Lord, but even those who fear the Lord can act foolishly. They can act as if they don't fear the Lord. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And they said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. They didn't want to do such a thing. The men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Whatever they had started out to call upon, whatever God they had believed in at the start of this episode, they're praying to the Lord Jehovah now. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And that last verse that we read, that is verse 1 of chapter 2, is our text this evening. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. There can be few stranger places for a prayer meeting to take place than that to which we are introduced here in our text. Let me say, first of all, and I say it principally to the young ones here, but parents take note of it too, Jonah really was swallowed by a whale. He really was. And he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Now there are plenty of so-called wise men who would tell us, impossible. Couldn't possibly be. Well, I don't care what the wise man, and I use that word with inverted commas around it, for no man who denies the word of God is a wise man. I reject what these wise men say, and I do it for this reason. The Lord Jesus believed that Jonah was swallowed by the whale. And not only did he believe it, but he said that just as Jonah really was swallowed by the whale and was really in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so he would die and be buried in the earth for 3 days and three nights. He says that in a number of places, or at least it's recorded in a number of places. But let me read one of them. Matthew chapter 12, the verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, boys and girls, you can see what the Savior is saying. And you can also see that if Jonah really was not swallowed by a whale, or a great fish, as the text says here, and was not in the belly of that creature for 3 days and three nights, then Jesus never died. And he wasn't buried for 3 days and three nights. If you cast away one part of what the Savior says, then you have to throw away the other. For he says, just as Jonah was swallowed, so I will be in the earth. So if you say, but Jonah wasn't swallowed, then it follows that then Christ never died. So I believe that Jonah really was swallowed. Because the Lord Jesus said he was, and based the fact of his own death and burial upon that story. Don't you ever let anybody tell you it's only an old fairy tale. Because they're actually saying that the death and burial of the Lord Jesus was a fairy tale as well. Well, there's no place in this church for such a notion. We believe the Word of God. Now, the verse that is our text suggests a number of thoughts in the Gospel, which I hope will prove both comforting and enlightening and indeed edifying for us all. Let's first of all notice the price of disobeying God. What it costs you when you disobey God. It's there suggested to us. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. How did he get there? Disobedience to God. That's how he got there. Disobedience to God. Jonah, for a time, disobeyed God, defied God, and as a consequence, he found himself in this dreadful state. This life-threatening state. We have the character of what true disobedience is, what real disobedience of God is set before us in this story. And I might say this to every Christian, that disobedience in a Christian is exactly the same as disobedience in a sinner who's not saved at all. There's no difference in the disobedience of one from the disobedience of the other. They both are, in essence, in character, in nature, the same. They are the same. What Jonah did when he disobeyed God was, in essence, what everybody here is doing if they're not saved. So see illustrated in the story of Jonah what God sees when he looks upon your life, my friend, for you are living in disobedience to God if you're not saved. It's a running away from God. That's really what Jonah did, didn't he? It says that God said to him, rise up and go to Nineveh, verse 2. But instead it says, verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And that's what it is to disobey God. If you're not saved tonight, you know what you're doing? You're running away from God. You're running away from God. That's what Adam did the moment he fell from his perfection and became a sinner. It says he heard the voice of the Lord in the garden and he hid himself. He ran away. That's what the lost sheep did. It ran away. That's what the prodigal did. He ran away. And that's what you're doing tonight if you're not saved. You're running away. You're running away. Oh, you may be here in the meeting. Circumstances may have made it impossible for you to do anything other than come to the meeting. But even as you're sitting there, you're running away. You're trying to get your thoughts away from what is being said. You're trying to block the Word of God entering your heart. You're hiding from it. That's what disobedience is all about, boys and girls, men and women. It's a running away from God. It's a refusing to hear what He says and to do what He says. That's what disobedience is. In fact, it's a doing of the very opposite to that which God commands. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. That was sort of that direction from where Jonah was. But Jonah turned right round and he ran in that direction, the opposite direction. He went to Tarshish, or sought to go to Tarshish. The very opposite. You know, there's no such thing as someone who sins in a small way. Jonah didn't say, well, I'm supposed to go there, sort of northeast. I'll go north. No. He goes southwest. He takes the exact opposite direction. And that's what sin will always do. It will take you away from God as quickly and as completely as it can. It's doing the very opposite to what God commands. God in the gospel commands us to believe the gospel. The opposite of that is to reject the gospel. God in the gospel commands us to humble ourselves and repent of our sin. But we do the opposite by nature. We go on in our sin. Repentance is a ceasing, a leaving off from sins. We go on in our sins. God tells us in the gospel to come to Christ and embrace Him. Man in his sinful disobedience does the opposite. He runs away and refuses to touch Christ. Disobedience is just doing what the very opposite of what God commands. Notice too that this disobeying of God ensues or brings about a downward path. It's interesting, you notice, how often God employs the word down in the story of Jonah. It says, verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down. I suppose if we were speaking of Nineveh, we'd talk about up. doing the will of God will always carry you upward, but disobedience will always carry you down. It says he found a ship going to Tarshish further down the chapter, or further down the verse 3, and he went down. See, the journey downward. Just like the prodigal. When he went from the far country, he was on a downward path. He went down and down and down and down until he was a poor, starving wretch that envied the pigs the food they ate. That's where his sin brought him, right down to the level of an animal. The path of repentance, the path of obedience, brought him up out of that country, out of those circumstances, and brought him to his father's house, where he was clothed with a new robe, a ring was put on his finger, new shoes on his feet. He was sat down at a table to feast. That was up, 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 up. But sin brings you down. Sin brings you down. We read in the verse 5. Halfway through the verse, the final sentence. But Jonah was gone down. He went down to Joppa. Found a ship. He went down into the ship. Then he went down to the very depths of the ship. Down into the sides of the ship. As far down as he could get. Hiding himself. Of course, it didn't end there. It didn't end there. But rather, this poor, foolish man found himself in chapter 2, in the verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. What's he talking about? He's talking about those valleys that are down there in the depths of the sea, where the great fishes lurk and hide. He was down in the very depths of the sea. That's where it'll take you. What a dark, cold, dreadful place Jonah was now in as a result of his disobedience. And my dear friend, I can't describe to you where your sin will take you. It'll take you down to the depths of darkness. It says of the angels that kept not their first estate but defied God and disobeyed Him, that they are kept in chains of everlasting darkness. Everlasting darkness. That's where your sin will bring you. For it will bring all who follow it down and down and down. You will see something else. Misery, sin brings misery to all around us. If we sin, it doesn't just bring to us misery, it'll bring misery to everybody around us. These sailors are in the midst of a storm. Why? Because of Jonah. Because of Jonah. They are made to realize. Verse 8. Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. Jonah, because he was in disobedience, brought this trouble upon the people on the ship. And that's ever been the way. It says of John the Baptist, that man who obeyed God, that he was a bright and a shining light. That betokens the benefits that he bestowed on others. But the man who's in disobedience to God will bring misery to others. He'll bring misery. Adam, our Father, the very fountainhead of the human race, because he sinned, brought misery upon us all. Achan, the man who stole treasure from Jericho and thus defied God by so doing, brought defeat and shame upon the nation of Israel. Cost them God's blessing. And I suppose we could go on and on and on and on through the scriptures, finding people whose sins brought misery on others. The house, I was just reading it tonight, from which the prodigal went out, from that moment became a house of sorrow. It became a house of sadness and brokenness and of grief for the father and all who were like-minded with the father. There wasn't a day but that man grieved and mourned over his wayward son. I thought tonight as I was reading it, when his son came home, the father said, "Bring forth the fatted calf." As if it was one nearly being kept for a happier day. Now the day had dawned. Bring the fatted calf. Let's eat and drink and be merry. For my son who was dead is alive again. If you're not saved tonight, you might be very happy with your condition. You might be having a grand time. Of course, you're deceived in that, but nevertheless, you think you're having a grand time and you feel as if you're having a grand time. But if you could only see, you're leaving a trail of tears and of sorrow and of grief. You're bringing grief to many around you. In your family, in the wider congregation of God's people, you're bringing sorrow. Because you see, that's what disobedience does. It spreads misery wherever it's found. Wherever it's found. A disobedient son or daughter, brother, sister, aye, father, mother, will vex the whole household. Will vex the whole household. Let's come to the second point. Let's consider the prayer that brings deliverance. Then Jonah prayed. You see, that's the answer to the need of the poor sinner. He has to pray. Prayer is the key that will open the prison door. He prayed unto the Lord his God. You know, men and women, we're never too far from God to pray. I suppose, naturally speaking, Jonah was as far away from God at that moment as you could imagine a human being being. In the depths of the sea, in the belly of a whale, can you get any further away? But even down there, he prayed. Oh, how often the devil will say to us, "You're too far from God for you to pray. You needn't think about it. You needn't think about it. You spent too long wandering and following sin. You needn't think of praying." Liar! The devil's a liar! Even tonight, if you were in the belly of a whale in the depths of the sea. You may pray. You may pray. It says in verse 2, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. The word hell there may be translated death, the grave. He was as if he was one buried. And out of that, out of the very grave, he cried and God heard him. Out of this place of fear and dread. You imagine what it must have been like to be in that terrible tomb that Jonah was in? You imagine what it was like? Darkness, utter darkness. The darkness, the physical darkness, the mental darkness. He didn't know where he was. Oh, he knew he had been swallowed by a great fish, but where had the fish taken him? He didn't know where he was. He knew he couldn't remain alive in this place for very long. What a horrifying place it must have been, and yet he cried and God heard him. God heard him. Even out of that corner, that dreadful place, God heard him. Such a prayer, it has to be said, springs from a sense of our own lost and helpless condition. That's what made this man to pray. He realized he was lost and helpless. He's already described the place for us in the verse 2 that I have read to you. What an awful place it was. But he goes on, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depths clothed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. This is the distress of mind and heart and soul, and the terrible state and the terrible circumstances that Jonah was in, and knowing his own helplessness, he was prompted to pray. He was made to look upward, as he says in verse 7 of chapter 2. My soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord. He remembered the Lord. He looked upward. Recalled the Lord. And it was his afflictions that made him pray. Oh, I tell you, what dealings God has to take with men before they'll pray. What will God have to do with you to make you pray? I hope he'll take a dealing with you and bring you finally to praying. No matter what it is he has to do, for it's better for God in mercy to humble you and break you than for you to go to hell. Jonah saw the hand of God in these circumstances. See what he says in verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Not bad luck, as some people might say. Just happens. No. Jonah realized God has done this. God's behind what has happened to me. God's taking a dealing with me. Jonah saw the mighty hand of God. You can't escape the hand of God. And if God can do in mercy what he did to Jonah, what will he not do in wrath to sinners? What will he not do in wrath? Jonah's prayer was a prayer of faith. The very last verse, but one, verse 9 of chapter 2 says, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That's a text that adorns many a pulpit wall. It's a text that men have preached on many, many times. It sums up the blessed gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. But these words express the faith that filled the soul of Jonah down in the belly of the whale. As he was praying, faith rose up strong. And he prayed in faith. Salvation is of the Lord. I can be delivered from this place by the Lord. That's when we cry to God for salvation, when we realize he alone can deliver us from our lost, hell-bound lifestyle. He can deliver us. Let me just say one more point, or make one more point. I want to speak on the power of God. That wrought on behalf of Jonah as soon as he prayed that prayer of faith. This is a wonderful deliverance that God wrought. For we are told in verse 10 of chapter 2, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Here is a picture of what God does in the saving of a sinner. Now, as I told you, the Savior likened what happened to Jonah to what he would undergo in the great work of redemption. He suffered the wrath of God, was buried, and because his sacrifice was perfect and was thus accepted by God, on the third day he was raised again. Because our sins had been atoned for. And as the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, by virtue of that victory, and by the power that raised Christ from the dead, so the sinner that calls on Christ is raised from their state of spiritual deadness and condemnation. That's how the soul is saved. God raised Jonah out of the depths of the sea and out of the belly of the whale. Look at what it says. In the verse 10, God spake. Deliverance for Jonah came by the word of God. See that book you're holding in your hand? That's the book of deliverance. It contains words whereby you'll be saved. That's why we must preach the Bible. That's why if I am to be a soul winner, I must preach the Bible. When the Savior sent out His apostles into all the world, He told them, preach the gospel. That's the means by which men are seen. And God spake. And the fish reacted. By the word of God, the grip held on Jonah by that fish was broken. And it's by the power of the gospel word that's preached that will break the hold of sin upon the life of the sinner. That word spoken by the Lord was an emancipating, a liberating word. Brought liberty to Jonah. He was delivered from that dark and stinking environment that he had been in. And so by the word of the gospel, men are delivered from the darkness of sin and the stench of sin. Just like Lazarus. Lazarus! Cried the Savior. Come forth. And that word brought Lazarus, who had been dead, to life and took him out of the stinking tomb. The Savior spake another word. He said, loose him and let him go. And they went over and they took the old grave clothes off him. They were stinking. They took them away from him. And this is the same word whereby we are purified in our daily living. And we are unwrapped from the old grave clothes of our former pursuits and activities and made clean. All this deliverance was by the word of God. You'll see it was a swift deliverance. No delay. The fish immediately rose from the depths of the sea up to the surface, right at the shore, and spewed out Jonah. Spat him out. He came out of that old fish like a cannonball. One moment he was in the depths of the bowels of the fish, and the next he was in the bright sunshine and the clean air. And he probably took a quick dip in the Mediterranean Sea just to wash himself. That's how God saves a soul. In a moment, He transforms their whole circumstances. In a moment. Just as that fish couldn't hold on to Jonah. And man, we could go into the medical details of what it is that's spoken of here. God didn't choose this word vomit, you know, ill-advisedly. He particularly just took that, just as the human frame cannot hold on to that food which is somehow or other causing trouble in the stomach. It must go. And no matter how you try to stop that process, you can't. Up will come that food. And no matter how the devil wants to hold on to the sinner, and no matter how sin wants to hold on to the sinner, and no matter how the world wants to hold on to the sinner, when God says, vomit him up, he will be sent forth. See the picture there. See the picture. It was a full and a complete deliverance. He wasn't vomited into the middle of the sea. It says, he vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Right out unto the dry land. From out of the sea unto the dry land. He wasn't left to swim the last half mile on his own. That's what some people think, you know, salvation is. You do a bit and God does a bit. No. He was vomited out onto dry land. Oh, how glad I am. You know, if there had been only one stroke that I had to swim in order to be saved, I couldn't have done that at all. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Nothing. It must all be done by the Lord. It's like the lost sheep. I read of it tonight in our home. It says that the shepherd found it, laid it on his shoulders, and it carried it all the way home. He didn't say, right, we're near home now, it's time you were walking a bit, get on. No, it doesn't say that. He carried it all the way home. Some people, some Christians, you know, fear death. They think they'll be left on their own. No, you don't understand. He will carry you over death. This God is our God. And He will carry us beyond death. We'll not be left to take one step on our own. Just like Jonah. He was vomited out onto dry land. What is it all in order to accomplish? God did all that. That Jonah might go to Nineveh and be a witness to a lost and perishing people. He's vomited out onto dry land. And the very next verse, chapter 3, verse 1, says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." He came with a message of life. That's why God rescued him from the fish, that he might be a witness. Christian, that's why you were saved, that you might be a witness to a lost and perishing people. And when God saves you, my friend, that's what He's going to make you. A witness. A witness. Oh, are you saved? Or are you yet down there in the depths? Held under lock and key, as it were. In that most noxious of prison houses. Hell there until you enter hell. All because of your disobedience. May you cry unto God out of the depths tonight. May you realize salvation is of the Lord. And you have but to cry on Him and He'll save you. May you cry on Him tonight. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write Your word on our hearts, especially on the hearts of those that are yet in their sins. And O God, save them, even as You delivered Jonah, to the great glory of Your name. Amen and amen.